This is the November 26th edition of Commodity Week. Well, the holiday season is upon us. Does that mean that the commodity markets will follow seasonal trends? We'll ask that many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in the program, we'll talk with our panelists right here in studio, including Sherman Newlin of Risk Management Commodities, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, this agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. A reminder that we're recording this edition on Wednesday, November the 24th. Our panelists in studio include Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Sherman Newlin of Risk Management Commodities. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us here in studio. As we head into the holiday, are there seasonal trends that you have thought about that producers might be able to take advantage of this week, next week, or as we make our way through the winter break? We'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
Well, I don't want to count on seasonal trends too much because the market so far in this season or this year hasn't really been, it's been more counter-seasonal. The thing I guess I would look at here that's going on right now that probably is going to enter into Friday's market and probably Sunday night's market is the option expiration on Friday, and we have basically the largest number of options ever going into expiration, and I think we have a lot of positioning going on. Most of those options are tied to futures positions, and we've seen a lot of that so far this week, and I think for the next few days we'll continue to see that. Then we get back in after we get through that and get that settled out and get into the rest of the year here, rest of the calendar year, I think we may go into some seasonal trends, which is typically moving kind of higher as we go into the first part of January.
Mike Zuzulo, seasonal trends?
I'm kind of like Bill at this point, Todd. I mean, you have the Lunar New Year coming up in the first week of February with China, and I think that's probably something that would give the soy oil an extra boost and probably keep those Dalian futures markets up near their highs, their all-time highs that they continue to be stuck at for both corn and beans. The only other thing that I think maybe needs to be watched is this past week we did see the micro fundamentals, the supply-demand fundamentals, fight off really nicely, some pretty bearish macro fundamentals. We held some major chart support in terms of weekly index charts and weekly corn, bean, and wheat charts as well. I'm wondering whether these micro fundamentals, as far as them being more positive, will bring in the index funds, will not have them, as we've been hearing, they have been supposedly going to reduce their grain exposure and move into something else in 2011. I'm wondering whether they may start to come in and buy because of this recent break and this really nice micro-fundamental rally we had so far going into the holiday.
And Sherman Newlin on the seasonal trends.
Excuse me. Seasonally, I mean, we do tend to rally here before Thanksgiving and then some after Thanksgiving. So with everything that was going on here recently, I like the way we put in a low the other day and possibly head higher from there.
Mike, I want to come back to you. You mentioned micro fundamentals. What might those be?
Well, there's a laundry list this week. It's kind of nice to do a commodity week for a change where you don't have to talk bearish all the time. Egypt purchased more wheat from the United States. That's 2 weeks in a row. They're moving from the number 7 importer of U.S. wheat to number 3 right now. By the end of the marketing year, they may be number 2. Argentine dry weather is a good one. 29 million bushels of export sales of beans to China. Continued winter wheat concerns in the southern plains, continued winter wheat concerns in Europe and the former Soviet Union. China's Banking Regulatory Commission talking about a corn shortage and word, Tuesday night, I believe it was, word that China may be searching around, sniffing around for some additional corn from the United States to import. And I think the other thing that really helped was the turnaround in corn on Tuesday was noted by commercial buying, and you kind of look at that, and you look at the previous week's commitment of traders report, Todd, and it showed a lot of longs being bought by commercials, a lot of shorts being covered to the tune of almost 54,000 contracts. So you see those things, and then you see the declining open interest as the corn has gone down. With corn being the weakest of the three commodities, that's a nice thing to see at the, you know, going into the holiday.
You shook your head at the turnaround on Tuesday. That came despite some world events in Korea in particular that pushed the market down fairly sharply early in that trading day.
Certainly pushed all the outside markets lower on the uncertainty. I was shaking my head at the commercial buying. That was a very good signal that we saw there on Tuesday, and that's kind of what I think the market had been waiting for, was to see at what point the users, the buyers of the physical commodity, was going to come into the market and buy. I guess I would kind of disagree with Mike on one thing. I don't know that I see the index funds coming back in. I think they will come back in, but it will probably be after the first of the year. I think it's just from a practical standpoint, they got some pretty good numbers on their statements here. I think it's going to be hard for them to come back into the market before the end of the year. But after the first of the year, I believe they could.
Mike, I'll let you defend that position. Why do you think they'll come back in?
I think mainly because the demand is coming around, and we have had this really big return to a bullish dollar environment. And I think that's about run its course at this point, Todd. So, I mean, I think the index funds, I guess Tuesday when we saw the commercials noted as buyers, I wonder if that's not swap dealers, which is also index fund related, because simply put, the major index fund charts hit 200-week moving averages and trend lines, and they tended to bounce like a rubber ball. And I will adhere to what Bill said earlier in the program about the option expiration for corn in particular on Friday. I think we're not out of the woods yet. Completely in terms of the corn making a good turnaround. But the ability to close back above the 50-day moving average in Dees corn on Wednesday's close was a big feather in the cap for the corn technicals.
Because Mike mentioned it, Bill, I'll bounce this back to you. I had written down the option expiration. Of course, we'll be talking about this now prior to it happening. But we'll be listening to the program after option expiration is in progress. What does it mean to you, and why did you mention it?
Well, two things, I think, and we'll just stick with corn here. Two things. One is the big volume is in like the 550 strike and the $5 strike. Those are the two volumes. You tend to migrate towards a strike that has a lot of volume in it, it seems like, as you get to expiration. The other thing that, like the other day, we saw some a big speculator who exited a position where they had sold the futures and sold puts against that position, and they exited both sides of that position, and in that case went in and bought the puts back first, which kind of tended to show a negative sign to the market, but then came back in and bought the futures, which offset that, and you could just kind of see that with that kind of volume, it was something like 17,000 contracts. So I think just as people exit those positions, they're probably not going to stay in a futures position without having that options protection on there.
Sherman, you mentioned that you thought there was a possible, at least near-term, low in the marketplace. Can you talk more about that, please?
Well, we went down and we touched on several different markets the 38% retracement level. A lot of times that seems to hold pretty regularly. It also coincided with some good buying coming in and some good fundamental news to help push that back up.
Mike, I always get a kick out of some of these things that people pick up. China, the Lunar New Year, soy oil. What do you mean?
Well, the palm oil is an extremely tight supply. The Asian vegetable oil market is, I think, every bit as tight as anything else out there, Todd, at this point. I would akin it similar to the diesel problem that China's facing right now in terms of the potential for the vegetable oils to become that tight because of the problems in Malaysia, the problems in Indonesia, some of the weather problems that came at just the wrong time. It's their biggest holiday, and they usually ramp up and buy into that holiday because demand is so large, and then there's a noticeable slowdown in demand domestically there in China after that New Year's over with. So I guess, you know, when you look at these markets, especially as the volatility and the whipsaw price action has continued to be present throughout all of 2010, I guess I kind of look at areas, okay, where's the most likely, where's the list of things that I can build a case for a recovery or a move back up? And that's one of those 8 or 9 or 10 things that I think are worth noting.
There are at least a couple of things happening in the month of December. USDA's quarterly grain stocks report comes out. It's the first one for the year. I wrote down fourth one, last one for the year, but that's passed, of course. This will be the first grain stocks report for the year. USDA has had some interesting numbers in June and then in September. What will happen when we get to that report in December?
Well, actually, the grain stocks, I believe, come out on the January report as of the end of November. But, boy, I wouldn't want to put a lot of guess on that, Todd, because they've surprised us so much. I think it could definitely see a market reaction when we get there. And if you remember, it'd be full cycle. Last January, it was when we kind of had the surprise of having a higher number of stocks and the market went lower from there into about June. So I don't know that I want to venture a guess on that, but I think we should at least this year have an awfully good or let's say better than last year situation where we've got everything put away. We're not, harvesting at this point, and we should get a pretty good read on what we got out there.
What are you hearing from producers, and I'll go across the board on this one, about their basis for corn? When we talked on Wednesday afternoon with the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, they're paying overs for corn on basis. What do you hear?
Boy, I'll tell you, it's very regional, Todd, is what I'm seeing. I mean, I've got clients across the Corn Belt, and we've got some areas fairly close to here, really, that basis is really it's tighter than it was at harvest time, but it really hadn't tightened up to the point that you typically see this time of year. And then we've got other places. I'll give you an example of ethanol plant in central Minnesota. We were just looking at the other day, $1.05 under still they're paying. Just tremendous crop up there, a lot of corn that's forced into the market, and then you see, like you're talking here, Delphi with over. So very, very regionally based, it seems like.
I agree. I think that, since September, a lot of areas in central Illinois, that's the hot spot. That's the area that had the biggest hit to the yields. And since September, 30 to 40 cent basis improvement, it's really fought this futures break pretty nicely. But then I've got clients in central Nebraska that have lost 20 to 25 cents since mid to late September because their yields were better than expected and the basis hasn't been pulled up out there. I think you touch on a huge thing, Todd. I think that what we've lacked here, and Bill said this a minute ago about the commercial buying, we've seen that in the futures market. Now we really need to see it in the export market, and we need to see the loadouts for corn really start to pick up here, especially as we get to the end of the year. The global end users that I have contacts with are suggesting that probably most of the buying for the rest of this year is over with in corn, but it should really start to pick up as we get to the end of the year and the first of next year. And if China would come on board, that may speed up the process. So I don't think basis has a much better likelihood of improving at this point in the listening area of Will Radio. I think it's probably done what it's going to do unless we really start to see the real export demand pick up.
Our local basis has picked up significantly from harvest. I mean, we're 17 under for some under March for June delivery and 6 under for cash. So it has picked up, with with higher demand. I think it'll – I don't know if our basis will get any better locally than where we're at right now. But I think the export market will pick up pretty quick. I mean, it may be after the first of the year, but I think China's going to start coming in and buying some. We've got some weather situations in South America with Argentina. They raise quite a bit of corn down there. I mean, that hasn't got a lot of play time yet in the markets. And if it stays dry come next week, we might get a little more story out of that and push the market higher from that.
Let me just say one more thing on that, because I think just an informal survey I kind of did this past week. I really think the farmer, from the standpoint of needing to sell corn going in the first of the year, is really pretty flush right now. And I really don't see the need that you have a lot of years where I've got to get so many bushels sold here before January. It seems like they've pretty well taken care of their cash flow needs. I'd like to hear these guys.
Most guys pretty well sold up what they wanted to. Problem is they sold it from a $4 level a long time ago. So they're holding out for a lot higher prices. And if the trade thinks they're going to get corn out of our hands now after a dollar drop in corn, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So they're going to have to pay up.
Yeah, I agree with both. I think the yield declines in the central Illinois, central Indiana areas is going to keep guys out of the market until they see it come back, at least to try and test that $5.80 to $6 level. That seems to be the bell ringer from the clients I talk to.
Does everybody agree? Is that kind of where producers are thinking?
I think if we get back up that level, yeah, you'll probably get some guys, because we were up there last time and they wanted over six and they didn't quite get it. And, it broke a dollar. If we get close again, they're probably going to say that's close enough. We're going to push a little more out the door.
Okay. Can we make it?
I think so. I think we'll get to the upper end of that range, that $5.80, $6 area again, because I think, demand. I think China needs corn. I think they, trying to, woo the market down here with all their things that they've been doing to push their economy to where it's at. And I think they just did it to get the price down.
I think we can, too. I agree with Sherman. I think this is the best opportunity for us to be able to do it. It seems like, from my standpoint, you've got that list of fundamentals. And I guess, Todd, if you don't listen to anything else on the program, from my paper that I wrote up my notes on, is I'm a big technician right now, and I kind of heard Sherman say the exact same thing. You've got to live and die by the technicals at this point. I think that goes back to the funds. I think they like the technicals. I like the technicals. I mean, we're not out of the woods medium term. There's a lot of unanswered questions yet. We're sending an aircraft carrier fleet over to the Yellow Sea this weekend, so it's not like we're out of the woods here. But in the short term, I like what I see in the corn market.
I think once the holiday gets over with, they'll feel more confident that as long as nothing, goes wrong over the weekend with the technicals, that they'll come back in and start buying it.
I would agree. I would agree that we could get back to those levels. I think two things. One is I think that's probably a pretty good level to target, too, because it has become resistant since we broke from there. And the second thing is I think the fundamental support that's under this market is that we need every acre we can get, and we need good yields on every acre we can get to meet demand, and that fundamental is still there.
Do you do anything with next year's crop for corn when you reach those levels?
Have done something with next year's crop on a portion of next year's crop. We've made sales at those levels. I probably would make additional sales right now, but if I need to catch up, I'd certainly look at that level to catch up some sales.
Catching up on 11 beans, I am recommending when we get back up to that 11.75 to 12.80 level. Those are the tickle points for me, and that's a dollar range, but I'm going to scale up sell there. But as far as 11 corn, I just don't want to pull triggers yet on 11 corn until I see the wheat a little bit more out of the wheat.
I think you could make a few sales up there. I wouldn't get too carried away in the corn market, and I would not sell new crop beans.
You're listening to agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. Our panelists in studio include Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Bill Merritt, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics. Let's continue our conversation, and we'll move to soybeans more particularly at this point. China has been a strong buyer in the marketplace, has been maybe the word that's proper to use at this point. Will they be back in the market in a big way anytime soon?
I think they'll continue to buy. I think they'll continue to buy soybeans. I'm kind of like Sherman a little bit on the standpoint of, we saw the market react a couple of times to China making efforts to fight inflation. And if you really just kind of step back and look at that, I mean, what is negative about that to the commodities? But we've seen some some drop in prices at times because of that. I think they're, I mean, they're kind of just trying to blame others. I mean, speculators, the hoarders, I'm sure some of that's going on. But the bottom line is they're short of commodities, and I think that continues.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different on the price control issue, Todd. I think it can have a negative effect on the beans, and I think it would have a much bigger effect on the beans than the corn or wheat. And I'll give you an example. When we had this first come out, what were the biggest commodities that got hit that were limit down day after day? It was the food and fiber sectors. It was bean oil. It was cotton. It was rice. It was sugar. Those were the most elastic and most sensitive to China in the news out of China. And when that Shanghai and Hang Seng equity indexes fell, it seemed like there was almost a one-to-one correlation to the soybean oil falling and cotton and rice falling with it. And I think that that's something we need to learn from. So I like the fact that there's a gap above the market in the weekly bean chart. I think that gap can get filled, but I think that gap is something to sell from a fundamental perspective, because price controls do one thing. It tells the domestic producer not to produce. It tells him to find every last stock he can and get it out there. So I think short-term, medium-term, it would be more negative for the bean complex than the feed grains.
Your viewpoint, Sherman?
No. I don't think so. I think they're going to have to eat. They're going to have to keep buying. I think they're short. And, you know, the fundamentals to me just justify it to continue to go higher. I think they tried to spook the market. They did. We got all the longs, you know, some of the liquidation out of there. So now we're going to take it back up, hopefully. It may take a little bit, but I think they're in there.
You mentioned.
And let me just clarify. I think price controls could have a negative effect eventually on market prices, but the rhetoric that we keep throwing out, that China keeps throwing out, and really no action that we really
see,
I think that's really the where I was coming from.
They're saying one thing and they're doing something else. I mean, they say, you know, they say they want to talk the market down, and they come in and buy a bunch of beans. I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors.
You mentioned South America to begin with, and that the marketplace might not be paying enough attention to them. What should they be paying attention to, and where in particular?
Well, Argentina, I think, has some weather problems right now, and parts of Brazil do also. So I think if you know, we don't get some rain down there, we're 3 to 6 inches behind normal. So from what I've been able to find out, it, you know, kind of correlates to what we look like in 08. In South America with their crop production. So if we don't get some rain, you know, to help their planting and get their crops going nicely, it'll probably lead to higher prices. And in 08, that's where we went.
What are you doing with the soybean old crop?
Old crop?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing after we drop so much. Not a thing.
Everybody just willing to keep the bin door closed on that one, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if we can get back up there, I'd, you know, bump a few more beans out. There's nothing wrong with that. But as far as old crop, I'm kind of hanging tight a little bit.
We've got the bin door closed, but the bin isn't very big in our case. We are pretty aggressive on sales when we got up to some of those levels, and I sure don't want to add anything to sales right now, but that's kind of where we're at.
Hey, Mike, I want to bring you into the wheat market. We mentioned Egypt and as a purchaser of corn. I think you did earlier in the market. That is part and parcel of the lack of wheat out of the Black Sea?
Yeah, what I was referring to is the wheat and not the corn. If I said corn, I apologize about that.
I was paying attention to something else.
That's
I thought
okay.
You said
yeah.
Wheat, but I heard corn too. So.
Yeah. They're number seven, and they were number seven last year in imports of wheat from the United States.
Yeah, and I guess my point was they did make a purchase of corn.
They did indeed, yeah, and that is because of Europe, right?
So what do you hear about the planting season or the sowing season for winter wheat in Ukraine and Russia and how that went? Did anybody hear any finals on that? That should be done and over at this point. And what do we know about it?
10 to 20% is what the conventional wisdom is coming out of especially Russia. Ukraine may not be quite that low, but I haven't heard a firm number out of Ukraine.
You mean 10 to 20% of total?
Below last year.
For
winter wheat seedings.
For winter wheat seedings.
Right.
That might put a lot of pressure upwards on the marketplace, I would think, in the coming fundamentally for the coming year. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think like Sherman talked about the South American weather, I think the market pretty much discounted in my opinion anyway, the potential of a big cold blast coming into northern Europe and pretty much putting that crop into dormancy and keeping it pretty dry as it goes into dormancy. And, you know, interesting on the wheat, Todd, we've got the KC futures about 70 cents premium to the Chicago right now. And I think that's all weather. I think we're seeing a pattern shift, you know, in the weather with the soft red wheat belt getting more rain potential, but the southern plains is staying just as dry. So that's going to be an issue on Monday, I think, with the crop conditions report, if we get that on Monday. I don't know if they'll delay it till Tuesday because of Thanksgiving or not. But the next crop conditions report, I think we'll have to start looking for a distinction between the soft wheat and the and in terms of the soft red and the hard red belt.
Just a few minutes left. Can we turn our attention to livestock? Chris Hurt, this week in his weekly outlook, discussed the hog market, suggested that now was the time actually for producers to do some locking in on several points. First, were to lock in the feed needs. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I mean, you know, if I'm as friendly as I am in the grain market, if I was a livestock producer, I would definitely take a look at locking in your corn and soybean or meal needs.
And you agree?
Yeah, I think you should be looking at that. We have been proponents of the LGM livestock insurance, which kind of locks in your inputs and your output side. Unfortunately, the hog price hadn't been very cooperative there. But you really have to be a little bit creative on locking in input because, you know, going out very far, your option expense, you have to do some bull call spreads or something like that.
So there are, I think, three things you have to worry about maybe is corn, meal, and then the actual futures price or the price of the end commodity. How do you deal with those separately? Anybody got ideas?
I'd put in priority locking in hog hedges for the wintertime simply because with December futures getting ready to go off the board, February will come in with about a $13 premium to the CME cash index. So if I couldn't afford to lock in meal, lock in corn, and hedge hogs, I would start with hedging hogs with the idea that maybe if the corn continues to go higher, either the hogs will go down and I'll be covered on my hedges, or we could be like a 1996 market where the demand for pork stays strong and the hogs actually go up with corn and you don't lose as much on your cash sale.
What's the most important thing that'll happen in the next 60 days for the marketplace to watch, whether it be policy or a fundamental program? And I've got a couple of things in mind. We mentioned Korea. There are a couple of others out there, including, you know, tax credits.
I'll stay with the fundamental side. I'd say the action early on as far as the ethanol credit and the extension of that. I think the stocks report you mentioned in January, that I think that's a big deal. And I also think that the wheat acres, when we see those come out in January, could be important, at least, you know, on contributing to how what the total acres to go to corn and soybeans will be.
I would say those are all huge micro fundamental issues that we got to keep an eye on. From a macro standpoint, I'll take it the other way. From a macro standpoint, the Bush tax cuts, I think you just said that, Todd. I think that's huge to the financial markets and therefore the riskier assets in general. I think the inflation policy that we still don't know about China is a huge issue because I think China, we have felt now the effects that high prices China cannot tolerate, and China's going to – they would rather slow their economy down than have people not be able to eat. And I think they're going to make that decision. So I would expect an interest rate hike from China before the end of the year.
I agree with all those things. I think also they're going to have to start looking at the acreage mix for next year, you know, and how they're going to start making their guesstimates on that.
That wraps up this November the 26th edition of Commodity Week. Remember, it was recorded on Wednesday the 24th, something to keep in mind. You can always access it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our thanks to our panelists in the studio, including Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good week.